So as I watched this video myself, I was really encouraged about how Will talked about how God spoke to him through his word, especially in times when he was struggling. And Will, I don't know if you're here this morning, but I want to say this anyway in case you listen to the podcast. But I just want to say, thank you for sharing your story. And I love how reading God's word has become a rhythm in your life. And I just want to thank you for sharing your story and challenging us through it to regularly be going to the word of God and making space for God to speak to us. As I was watching Will's story, it resonated because of what God has been teaching me over the past year and a half. Last year, almost from the beginning of the year. In fact, it was from the beginning of the year. I started to have a sense of being unsettled. I don't know if any of you can relate to that feeling of just going, man, something doesn't seem quite right. What's going on? And I mean, you can live with that for a week or 2 weeks, but when it starts to drag on, it starts to become quite a thing, or almost consuming, because you're going, what is going on? What's wrong? Is there something wrong? Because it's not necessarily you're able to pinpoint it and deal with it. You're going, is something wrong? Why am I feeling unsettled? About halfway through last year, I caught up with a friend that I hadn't seen in a while, and we were just talking. We were just having a conversation, and we were just talking about life in general. And it wasn't like we were. I was speaking specifically about where I was at and how I was feeling. So this was almost 5 months now worth of feeling unsettled and wondering what was going on. And I was talking to my friend, and then just he's a pretty wise guy. In fact, he's an incredibly wise individual. But as we were talking, he said, "It seems, Dave, your roots are really unsettled at the moment." And which for me was wow, that's such good language, or an explanation to how I was feeling. So it had gone from me just feeling unsettled to going, actually, this is deeper than just I don't know what to do next week kind of unsettled. It's there's something deep in me that doesn't seem right. And I was struggling with that and trying to figure it out, and he was talking to me, and one of his pearls of wisdom was just Dave, I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you, but I just want to say that in my experience, God, or the feeling of being unsettled is because of two things. Either God wants to pick you up and put you somewhere else in terms of what you're doing, or what you find yourself doing, uprooting to be transplanted somewhere else, or it's because he wants your roots to go deeper. That unsettled sense, that feeling like your roots have been shaken, can be generally, from his experience, because of two things. And he said, why don't you just start talking to God about that? Going, God, what is this feeling? Because as soon as he said it, I was just like, bro, you don't know how accurate you are in saying what you just said. Because it resonated with me, I began to ask God what was causing this, sense of being unsettled. And I, out of what he was saying, I latched onto this thought of, it's probably because I need to be doing something else. It's probably because I need to be doing something different. To move on, you could say. And I was talking to God about this. And then near the end of last year, or at the end of last year, I had my wife and I, Laws, we had the opportunity to go to Europe. And for me, that was an exciting opportunity because, one, we were going to Europe, but it was actually space and time where I could get away from what I knew and really I suppose seek God on what this feeling of being unsettled was. Because we're now 9 or 10 months into the year, and I still had this feeling, and I had been praying for like 4 months at this point, and I was just like, God, what is going on? Nothing's changing. And so I was like, yeah, get away to Europe and see some amazing things and drink some good coffee and eat some amazing food and hang out with cool people, I hope. But there was this deep desire to go, actually, I want to disconnect from what I know. And hopefully in doing so, it will almost like create some space, some head space, where I can hear more clearly from God. So that was my desire. So I remember praying, like leading up to going, and even before we hopped on the plane, before we flew out, and it was just like a quiet prayer to God, myself, just going, God, still feeling this, and I don't know what it is. Speak to me. Show me what's going on. We were away for 6 weeks, and several nights before we were coming home, nothing had changed. I was now like 6 weeks in to what I was hoping would be like this revelation from God, and I had heard nothing. It didn't mean that I hadn't had some awesome conversations with individuals, both friends that we met over, like we wanted to meet while we were over there, as well as like people that we'd never met before. But my nagging question, my prayer to God, was still unanswered. And I was like, God, what is going on? And I remember lying in bed in Lille in France, and I started to have a panic attack, and I was struggling. I wasn't struggling to speak like I am now. I started to struggle to breathe, the room, which wasn't that small, started to feel very small, and I felt so constricted, and I was trapped. And I did the only thing that I could at that moment, and I cried out to God. And I said, Lord, I need you to steady my heart, because I know that with you it's safe, firstly. But also, this thing that I had put my hope in, that you would answer my prayer, I haven't heard anything. And it was interesting, while I was away, I was praying this particular prayer. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Where are you moving me to? And my prayer was a little bit different that night, where I just said, God, why are my roots shaken? That was it. God, why are my roots shaken? The next morning, I woke up after having, of course, quite a short sleep, and I woke up to the sound of my phone going off, and my phone was still, like, the notifications were still coming through New Zealand time, which is a little bit annoying, and so the verse of the day for New Zealand came through to me very early in the morning. And I had maybe slept an hour or two before that sort of thing. I was thankful to be able to actually sleep. And the verse popped up, and I woke up. Like, you know when you wake up and you're awake? You're just like, boom, you're awake. And I was just like, oh, damn it, seriously? Now I've got to try to get back to sleep. But then the reminder notification goes off, and I was like, no, I did wake up for a reason. So I leant over and I grabbed my phone. And I read Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, and it was in the Amplified version, because that's what I have my notifications set to. And it said this: have the roots of your being. Firmly and deeply planted in him. Fixed and founded in him. Being continually built up in him. Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. It's just insane, eh? Like, literally, God, why do my roots feel shaken? Why do my roots feel shaken? And he answered, have the roots of your being firmly planted in me. I had assumed that this feeling of my roots being unsettled for that whole time was a result of what I was doing and where I was doing it. But what God reminded me in that moment was that he was actually far more interested in who I was becoming as a result of who my roots were going down into. Way more interested in that. I was going, God, where do you want me? And he's just like, Dave, I'm actually more interested in where your roots are planted right now. The whole time, I was asking God where he wanted me to be, ready to pack up everything and move off to Europe. I was just like, okay, maybe we're going to Europe because that's where God wants us to be. Maybe we've been able to have this holiday because he's going to show me something that I can be a part of while I'm over here. And that was it. That was a key part of my thinking. And I was praying that through, going, okay, God, what are you going to show me today? You know, what conversation am I going to have where somebody says, oh, by the way, you're perfect for this position. Do you want to work with us? That was my thinking. That's what I was locking on to. The whole time I was asking God where he wanted me to be. And he answered with, I want you to be with me. For the roots of your being to be firmly and deeply planted in me, so that I can build you up, so that my strength can be your strength, so that whatever comes your way, good or bad, and the ups and downs of life, you will be overflowing with thankfulness. Because my joy has become your joy. My peace is now your peace. My life is now your life. When the roots of your being go down so deep into me, into who I am, what I have done and what I am able to accomplish, nothing can shake you. Nothing can shake you. Paul was writing these very words to a church, though, that had been shaken by a false teaching which disguised itself as Christian. This teaching, it was called Gnosticism, and it claimed to have extra knowledge, special information that could be attained, and as a result, you would become more spiritually awake. It attacked the foundation of the gospel as it brought into question the believer's salvation based on what they did and did not know. Like it was a head thing. That if you had this information, you were saved. If you knew this, God loved you. It was a direct attack on the gospel of Christ. And Paul is addressing that in the letter of Colossians. The very next verse from what we've just read, Paul writes, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Paul's saying, don't be distracted by these fine-sounding ideas and concepts. Don't believe the lies. But the only way we can know if these things are distractions or lies is if we know what the truth is. Or if we know what the truth is, sorry. At CBC, one of our core values is the Word of God, because we believe it to be the truth of God. Hear that? We value the Word of God because at CBC we believe it to be the truth of God. It is our desire to be deeply rooted in God and in His Word. Namely, Jesus, who in John chapter 1 is called the Word. You see? In the book of Colossians, there was this thing going on where Gnosticism was attacking people's understanding of who God was, who Christ was, who Jesus was. Saying that there was something more that you needed to know. And Paul says, you need to know Jesus. You need your roots to go down deep into Him, because He is all you need. He is all you need. He is all you will ever need. And when that happens, you cannot be shaken. Whether distractions, lies, or just life come your way, you cannot be shaken as a result of who you are established in, who you are planted in, who you have come to know. You need to know Jesus. And I don't think it's any mistake that in John chapter 1 it says that Jesus is the Word. We need to know who He is and what He has done and what He can do. Otherwise we will stay stuck, trapped, like the room is getting smaller and we cannot breathe. But Jesus is the one that who steps into that room and He pushes the walls back. And He breathes life into our lungs. And He says, don't listen to the lies, because this is who I am. Look at me. That's all you need. This is all you need. But simply saying that we value something won't change anything. To simply say that we value it doesn't mean squat. If we truly value something, we spend time with it. Yeah? If we value it, we spend time with it. That's what we do. We have a car that we really like. We go and we polish it. We make it look good. You know, we have a friend who we love. What do? We go and spend time with that person. What you value or who you value is what or who you'll spend time with. We mold our lives around it, or maybe better said, it molds our lives. You see, what we value, we can often think that we mold out, so because this is important to me, I'm going to spend more time with this thing or this one. But I actually think it's the other way around. It's because if there is something that we come to value, rather than we molding our lives around it, I think it actually molds our lives. Because it draws us in, it sucks us in. I think that's actually almost what idolatry in a way is. Where we see something and we go, man, look how good that is. And then we get sucked in. And we start to change how we think and live, what we do, with what we spend our time on, who we spend our time with. But it's the exact same thing with the Word of God. If we value it, we will spend time with it. And you can guarantee that it will change you. You can guarantee that if you spend time with the Word of God, you will be different. Whether you are aware of it or not. Like what Will was saying, He didn't set this up to be like a thing, like a habit that he wanted to do. He just wanted to read the Word of God. And then he found that he had, well, knowledge. Knowledge to him is important. He's an intellectual. He loves to know what his faith is. And so he engages with his faith by what he believes. But it's the exact same for all of us. At the end of last year, I realized that I needed to spend more time with God and in his word, allowing my roots to grow down deeply into him. And if I am honest, and this is me being honest, it is something that I have struggled with in both the before and after God showing me Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Just because I've read it, it doesn't mean that I'm like some like ace at reading the Word of God. Colossians 2, 7 highlighted the need for me to read the Word of God, to spend time with God, to spend time sitting at his feet and going, Lord, what is it that you think about this? How is it that you view this person? There are just so many lies that I believe and distractions in day-to-day life that keep me from sitting at the feet of Jesus. There are so many lies and distractions that keep me from sitting at the feet of Jesus. But his invitation to come as I am and be forever changed never ceases. His love for me never runs dry. His desire for me to know him and who I am in him never wavers. But what will we do with that invitation? What will we do with this invitation? If our desire is to be deeply rooted, then we have to put our roots down. We have to put our roots down. Society magnifies, glorifies, I don't know what it is, that sense of like free-flowing, kind of free-spirited, yeah, you do you kind of thing, like this sense of like, you know what, I'll do what's right for me. But the Word of God so clearly instructs us that that is not the way, that the kingdom of heaven does not look like that. It looks like us following the King, and his name is Jesus. And to follow our King, we have to know who our King is and what he wants us to do. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we cannot expect for our lives to be changed if we don't know what the kingdom looks like. And the only way we will know what the kingdom of God looks like is if we spend time with the King. And his invitation is, come and sit at my feet, sit at my table and eat, enjoy my presence, because I enjoy yours. And I have done everything in heaven and in hell and on earth that needed to be done so that you could be with me. But are you going to be? Are you going to be with me? I don't know. It's so often my answer. Because this thing over here looks really good. And that person over there looks like they need my help. If our desire is to be deeply rooted, then we need to put our roots down, and that takes intentionality, commitment, and time. God's heart and desire is that we would know him in a deeper and more intimate way. that we would be more mindful of his presence, more aware of how near he is. My heart also longs for this. See, there's this like this crazy war within me where I get distracted by all these things. But there's like this deep yearning in me for me to know my King, my Savior, my friend. My heart also longs for this. But to make it a reality, I have to make time. To make it a reality, I have to make time. God's proximity to us never changes. He is always close. But my awareness of his presence does change. It can increase or decrease, and it is hugely affected by how much or little time I spend with him. God's proximity to you never changes. He is always close. But your awareness of his presence does. It goes up and down as life goes up and down. When it's good, yeah, God. When it's bad, God, where are you? That's my life. I mean, I'm a roller coaster every day, up and down. Yay! Ah! In one breath, it can be there. But God's proximity to me, to you, never changes. He is always close. But my awareness of his presence and that he is doing something in me and he wants to do something through me, that changes because of my external circumstances. But it will become less so the more time I spend with him, because I'm not so easily distracted, because I don't believe the lies. You see why we value the word of God? It changes everything. You want a perspective change? Spend time with the King of Kings. Because we get slammed by life. And we get told to think this and to believe that and to view this person in front of you in a certain way. I don't want to know what the world tells me to think or say or view things as. I want to know what God says. Because I believe that will change how I act and react to every situation. This is not about religion. This is not about fulfilling the requirements of a quiet time or whatever it is that you might call it. It's about sitting at the feet of Jesus, because he's Jesus. He is Jesus, and he loves you. And no matter how you feel, he says, you are the righteousness. You are my righteousness. This is how I see you. This is how I now call you. I call you by name, a dearly loved child of God. I will not live as a dearly loved child of God, though, unless I have that truth deeply planted in me, or having my roots being deeply planted in that truth. You see where we're going with this? That morning, I read Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. God answered my prayers. Not how I thought he would. Definitely not how I thought he would. I was ready to move to Europe. And he showed me that he has me right where he wants me. He has me right where he wants me. He has my attention. And that's where he wants me. He has taken my heart captive. And that's where he wants me. He has saved my soul. That is where he wants me. It's less about what we do. It's so much more about our mindfulness of who we are doing this with. God showed me that I didn't need to be looking to the next thing. I think this is, again, something that's so counter-culture. We don't need to look to the next thing, the next project, the next toy. I just needed to be looking to Him. To Him. And I just felt this insane peace and joy for the first time in 12 months. I felt settled, not because my prayers had been answered, but because Jesus had met with me, and He allowed my roots to go deeper into Him in that moment. And I realized who He was more, and I realized who I was more as a result of what He had done, that He is a good King, that He loves me, that He has forgiven me, that there is no condemnation that stands against me, that I am free to live in His presence, to sit at His table, and that He wants to use me in life, everyday life. He wants to use me to extend His kingdom so that people would know the peace that I have felt, so that people would experience the joy that is mine, that cannot be affected by external circumstances. And you better believe I cried. Man, I cried. But a good cry, man. Felt like there was 12 months of emotions stored up in that moment. At CBC, we deeply value the Word of God because we believe that it is the truth of God. And it is how He wants to speak to us, one of the key ways He wants to speak to us. It is through His Word that we test everything. It's real interesting that my friend, like mid through last year, who came and said, you really seem like your roots are unsettled at the moment. And that's something that I took with me and I prayed for a really, really long time. And then God used His Word to affirm the picture that that man gave me. His Word, because it's tried and true. It is trustworthy, because the author is. And I know that as a people here, as a community, we desire to know our King more. We wouldn't have this value if this wasn't the case, but I do know, because of my own life, there are so many things that keep me from connecting to God, that distract me from spending time at the feet of my Savior. That there are lies that I have believed about myself or about who God is that would keep me from engaging in a personal relationship with Him. And my question this morning is, what are those things in your life? What are the distractions? What are the lies? I am still really not good at this. But a part of this process has been me giving up the things that I value so that I can value the things of the kingdom. What God is doing and what He wants to do. And I say that last bit really cautiously, because I don't think we're meant to be martyrs that die to like things that give us enjoyment or things that bring us pleasure. God is so about us enjoying life and finding pleasure in it. But is there something in your life, like I know there is mine, that I just need to give up so that it would be transformed more into how it could be used as opposed to how I'm currently using it. See, the kingdom of God is about restoring back to itself what was taken away. It's a key part of the gospel, that God wants to restore back to himself what was taken. And I think that it can include, you know, like simple things in life. Hobbies, pleasures, interests. But are we willing to give them up so that they can become like truly life-giving? Just a thought. You guys can do with that what you want. But I'm just going to pray now. And we're just going to spend some time just singing to our awesome King. As well as having a time of just being, like, sitting at the feet of Jesus and just and asking those questions. Lord, is there something that you want me to just hand to you so that you can show me what it looks like for this to be used in the right way? Or is there just something that I need to completely give up because it's wrong, full stop? Sometimes that's it. Sometimes we do stuff that we shouldn't be doing that keeps us from experiencing true life in fullness. I just pray. Yeah, Lord, we are thankful, Father, for your presence, that you are here with us now, that you have placed your word in our hands. And that, Lord, you want to speak to us. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the work that you are doing in us as a community. Lord God, we give you praise, Father, for all of these things. But in this moment now, we just want to stop. We want to pause. We want to respond to who you are and to what you have done. Lord God, if there are distractions that are drawing us away from spending time with you, God, I pray that you would just reveal those things to us now. That in your presence, Lord God, and just so gently, Lord, you would just say, hey, this thing, it's not necessarily bad, but it is drawing you away from me. And Lord God, help us to just give those things to you. Lord, if there is lies in our life that would keep us from going deeper with you, from allowing our roots to be more established in you and what you have done, God, I pray that you would uproot those lies and replace them with the roots of your truth. With the roots of your truth, God. King Jesus, we say, have your way. Do what only you can now do. We are yours.